Our name is the RR Podcast. 5 years ago, we made it our mission to bring you the latest toku news in the craziest way possible. But after a plague of boring tokusatsu struck, it was up to us to save our podcast. To do this, we had to do something else. We had to discuss something else. Hello, welcome to our season 6, episode 22.
Boom, ghosted. Get it? Like, boom, roasted.
Like,
Oscar, you're gay. Boom, ghosted.
I also feel like I need to capitalize B-O-O.
Oh, I get it. Like, boo. Classic. The title was going to be, like, doubly awesome because we were going to have a ghost episode of Doctor Who to talk about, but then guess who ruined that? Kiefer. Classic queefs.
It was in no way me.
No, not at all. Spoiler alert, the Doctor and Claw are in the episode.
I'm not even going to watch it now.
And he still has the Sonic sunglasses, and people are throwing a bitch fit.
Still?
They're having a BF, a bitch fit! You better get out of here!
Come on, people, it's cool.
It is. It's fun. Plus, you know they'll bring back another one eventually, so that they can sell another one. But to be honest, if they sold Sonic sunglasses, even though they're generic sunglasses, I can buy Target right now. I would buy the official merchandised ones.
Me too.
Because they might make sounds.
Especially like, if they made sounds. There's like a button to make sounds.
Like, how great would it be just have sunglasses on, stand next to someone, and just be like, that was terrible. That sounded like a sick sheep. It was dying. Speaking of sick sheep that are dying, one-ups?
Accurately describes my life.
Mine too. I'm eating an apple. Up-to-date shit.
Where do I start? I at the beginning, obviously, but there's been a lot of kind of odds and ends purchasing. Nothing like substantially amazing, but I kind of really wish I kept my blog up. It would make this really easy.
I quit mine after that class ended. It was all a ruse. It was a front. It was like a drug thing, but like way less stakes.
When I was up in Mackinac City, there's like a store that just has a bunch of pop culture shit. And so I got these little Mega Man keychains, and I ended up getting the secret rare, which is just Mega Man without his helmet. But I was excited about that, and then I went and bought more, because that's how I work. So I got 5 of those, and I love them, and I want them all, because Mega Man's my favorite. But I got those, and then on Tuesday, I picked up Combiner Wars Cyclonus and Skywarp, because I didn't have those, and Meyer was having a sale. That's how I do things. I finally picked up Avengers on Blu-ray, but I picked up Transformers Devastation on PS4. I only played a little bit because I'm still kind of going through Lego Dimensions and stuff, but the little I did play was really good. It's made by Platinum, the same people that did Bayonetta, and I think it honestly plays a lot like that game, except with Transformers.
Game. So it's like button mashing with boobs, not the Transformers.
This one's button mashing with giant robots.
Bots.
So. So that's really cool, and the guy at GameStop gave me the big display poster that's on their stands and stuff, so that was really neat. I don't know what I'm going to do with it, but
I don't have an in at GameStop anymore. I haven't even been in GameStop in forever.
Like, I don't know if my previous in at GameStop, told him about me, because
the Shukuin Shinobi.
Like, I was friends with the two managers, and one got transferred to a different store and then got fired. And then the other one quit. And so there's two new managers that I barely see the one, but they're both named Mike, honestly. But so Mike B, I hardly ever see, but Mike A, I don't know if someone told him about me or what, but he still gives me free stuff, so I'm not complaining. Thanks, Mike.
Maybe he just regenerated into a different Mike.
Maybe so. That happened, then today I went out looking for the two chargers I'm missing, or the villain figures. Found nothing. Nothing at all. But I did find Masterpiece Starscream was getting a reissue at Toys R Us, and I found one. So I picked that up because I wanted to buy something. So, of course, I bought a $60 toy instead of, you know, buying, like, a $7 toy or something. I was like, oh, I didn't find anything today. Buy a $60 toy. so I picked that up and then came home to an Ami Ami box. what did that have in it? That had a Rayquaza DS cover, a bunch of little Digimon PVCs, Thor, Kivala, some candy that has Ultraman Cyber cards in it, that Signal Bike set.
It's like a really random box. It's like a loot crate, but with Ami Ami.
And SIC Birth, so that's what have I been doing? Not much. Playing Lego Dimensions off and on, Transformers Devastation. I played a little bit more Pokemon for whatever reason. I don't know, I just picked that up and was like, oh, my team's the team I was building was done and I like never used it for anything, so I played some like Battle Chateau or whatever the fuck it's called. Bought some more Legos. I don't know. My life is just playing games, watching TV, and buying shit.
That's the dream. The second dream. The first one is the accidental curly. Everyone knows that.
And speaking of watching stuff, I progressed a little bit in season 3 of Walking Dead. Not as much as I would like. TV's back. So
yeah, this was like hell week of like everything coming back at once.
So current TV is currently beating me in the face. So I haven't had a whole lot of time.
I follow 40 plus shows.
I haven't had a whole lot of time just to sit here and veg and watch Walking Dead, but I'll get there. I don't know when exactly I will be caught up, so I can't say for sure whether season 6 is on Doctor Who. Season 6 is ever going to make it to Ramble Time, but we'll see.
It could end up being, like, mid-season, I think.
Yeah, I was going to say, they take a break, don't they?
Yeah.
I should be able to catch up before they come back after the break, so.
Because they don't come back, like, right away with everyone else. I feel like it's February or March, I'm not sure, but it's definitely not, like, when most shows come back. It's a little bit later, kind of like now.
We'll see, but I'll give it my best shot. I'm pacing pretty decently through it, so.
Especially considering your previous pace.
Yeah.
One episode a year.
Anything is better than my previous pace.
And then, like, you kept restarting. Like, well, it's been a while since I've seen it, so I'll just watch the pilot.
Go ahead, I'm done.
I don't have much. I feel like I've been really busy lately, but I feel like I don't remember what I do. I think I might have DID. I don't know, but like there hasn't been much going on purchase wise like basically like every week it's been a drought in terms of like toy hunting for review stuff. I did get Avengers on Blu-ray. I just ordered on Amazon and I picked up The Grudge for $6 because I really didn't own it. I'm gonna rewatch it this weekend because I've been meaning to rewatch it, like, because not that I didn't like it, it's just I feel like a more negative opinion of it than I should have, and I wanted to go see it again in theaters but no one wanted to go see it with me, so I'm gonna try to rewatch it this weekend. I don't think I bought my Ami Ami box shipped, which is just Kivala and I think Darth Maul, and I think my ghost stuff shipped. I'm not sure.
Mine should get here tomorrow
because I never got an email or anything, but they're no longer in the shipping processing thing. So I'm not sure. It ghosted on me, so that might have happened.
Mitchell G is a bunch of fuck sticks right now. Like, I don't get what goes on. Like, I mentioned this I recorded the first part of the vlog today. I'm going to finish it tomorrow when I get the ghost stuff. But, like, they did the payment thing on Friday. And so it went right into my private warehouse. And from there, I just immediately hit ship. And so I'm like, oh, I hope they ship it out quickly. And then, like, Saturday rolls around. And I got a text from my friend saying, oh, cool, my ghost, wow, I can't say that. Ghost stuff.
Ghost stuff.
shipped this morning. I'm like, oh, aren't you a lucky son of a bitch? And so his stuff got there on Monday. Mine didn't ship until Monday, and we sent in the payment requests for shipping at like the same time.
It's so random. I don't know what any of these companies are doing.
It's so dumb.
Like, they're higher priced, but CS Toys is the only one that really has a consistency in terms of when they do things.
Yeah.
Like, because, and then, of course, you got AmiAmi over here trying to decide whether they even carry stuff anymore.
It took AmiAmi forever to put the Ghost Driver up, and when they did, the price was wrong.
Like, and it's so much cheaper for the Ninja Mech, but, like, I put it on Angel J just because I didn't want to deal with AmiAmi.
Like, AmiAmi put it up, and I'm like, oh, cool. And I was like, well, I wonder what HLJ's price is going to be. It's just easier for me to get it through there. I think I'll wait. And then HLJ put it up, and it was, like, twice the price.
Yeah.
And I was like, fuck. And then I thought about it, and I realized AmiAmi's price was wrong. Like, it's the same thing that happened with the
Ghost Driver.
With the Ghost Driver. I don't know if they're copying a listing for a different item, and they just didn't fix the price or what it is exactly that they're doing, but both of those items are completely the wrong price. I have no idea if they're honoring them or if what's going to happen with those, but
it's been all messed up lately. Like, yeah. They've pretty much only been good for figure arts, like whether it's pre-orders or like their sale stuff. I can't think of, it's been quite a while, at least 4 or 5 months since I've gotten any like deluxe or like mecha or anything from them. It's just crazy. So yeah, it's been really weird on all fronts, I guess, for toys. My day, you could just waltz into HLJ and get yourself a driver.
I pretty much don't get anything from AmiAmi anymore except for figure arts and, like, candy toy boxes, or I order a bunch of Pokemon card-related accessories and stuff from there because they're about the only place I know that stocks them.
Prices if they carry stuff.
Yeah. But, like example with the Ghost Driver, you never fucking know. Like, they didn't put the Ghost Driver up until a day ago, 2 days ago, maybe?
Yeah, there used to be at least some sort of consistency, or at least, like, a semi-predictable pattern, I remember.
Sometimes they'll put things up for pre-order, sometimes they won't.
Sometimes they'll put up listings for pre-order, but, like, never activate them. Or if they do, it's, like, sometime dead in the night, when even we're asleep.
Where they put up, like, 2 for pre-order, and that's it.
I think the animal control guys are running it again.
Like, honestly, I never would have thought I'd be in a predicament, or not really a predicament, but a situation where the store I'm buying from most is HLJ.
Yeah, it's like a total, like, reverse. Oh, I don't know why this just reminded me of the word predicament, but it's an amazing story. You know the snail zord thing from Dino Charge?
Yeah.
I put it, you know, I had it stored on the Dino Charge Megazord's shoulder, and the weight was too much the other day. He couldn't take it anymore. Like, I was just sitting there, I don't know, munching on some tacos or something, and I just heard this, like, shift noise, and I look over, and the Dino Charge Megazord is, like, bent over, like, ready to face plant drunk. And luckily, I saved it before he, like, completely demolished the Dino Drive figures, like Rick Grimes baby in the comics. Like, it was about to be smushed. Like, I'm surprised it didn't cause an avalanche, so... Now he has no home, because there's no place for him on the shelf, so he's just sitting here on this dumbbell, so, because he's a dumbass. No, but, so that's my amazing week. Just that happened to me, but I've been kind of busy with other random school stuff, but I haven't found anything. I haven't even been watching anything new. I've been mainly watching reruns and a lot of Man vs. Wild reruns, and, I haven't even played any games recently. I have, like, one more level on Trap Team I need to finish. I need to get around to that. But it's been pretty boring other than trying to just juggle all the TV stuff. Because, like, I follow way more shows. And, like, this week CW dumps, like, everything on you at once. So, yeah. Our lives are so exciting.
I've got Puzzler sitting here all alone.
Oh, God, those villain figures. Like, somebody here found them. But I think it's somebody that goes kind of like far away for things, but I haven't seen it, like, any sign of them close by, and most of my Walmarts are phasing their stuff out.
Yeah, I've no idea. I'm starting to think the one I got from Toys R Us, Puzzler, I'm starting to think it was a return or something.
It was kind of like this one time when the Jungle Master figures were coming out, and I've been checking stores pretty much like every day because I was excited for them because Jungle Fury and stuff. And I check my local Target more than most because it's like literally 2 minutes from my house. And I went there like the day after I just checked it, and there was one Wolf Ranger figure by himself. I'm like, this is it. Like, did somebody just come buy them all out? Like, it's confusing. That could have been, maybe it fell through the portal with your Puzzler at the same time. Timey-wimey.
Yeah.
That's why they call it Puzzler. Because it's a Puzzler. All right. Speaking of Puzzlers, news?
About sums it up. Where to start? I guess the stuff that happened today. So, Power Force got an email around, I could check exactly, because I haven't gotten much in the way of email on that account.
So you could announce the announcement.
Let's see, yesterday.
Sorry, boop.
2:39 is when I got mine. And so they said, we wanted to give you a heads up that big casting news for the Power Rangers movie is coming within the next few minutes. Please follow at Power Rangers Movie Instagram account for the official announcement and help spread the word, blah, 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 whatever. I don't fucking...
They turned derpier the more the email went on.
I'm, like... Outside of the people that, like, you never hear from, that I don't even think exist, I'm, like, the worst Power Force member. I don't do shit. They're like, oh, here's a picture, tweet it. I'm like, nope.
Nope, I'm busy.
Here, help spread the word. Nope.
Well, because, like, it's always really funny, like, boring stuff. Like, exclusive photo of guy standing around. Like, oh my god, it's so exclusive. Like, I can't even believe they got that sneak peek. Coda's going to be wearing a shirt. Impossible.
0 out of 10. Will not watch.
And those aren't even Diggle pecs. What are you doing?
And so, I don't even remember when this actually went up, but it was probably over an hour or so before the picture actually went up on their Instagram account. They're like, in the next few minutes, and it just never happened. But anyway, the announcement was that Naomi Scott is the Pink Ranger for the reboot movie. As they said multiple times, they're casting pretty much unknowns for the Rangers. She was in Terra Nova.
She played a dinosaur. I'm just kidding. She was like one of the CGI raptor people from Jurassic World.
I love that picture of the people that are in like the little raptor CGI suits that they use for the motion tracking, just like in the pit. Anyway, she's going to be the Pink Ranger. Like I said, she was in Terra Nova. She's got some sort of role in that The Martian movie with Matt Damon.
She plays Matt Damon. She's really good.
She's an amazing actress.
Like, she's going to actually be playing... Jason Bourne is the Mighty Morphin Pink Ranger.
That'd be amazing.
That would be, actually.
So that happened. I don't know if they're going to announce more, like, another one tomorrow, or if it's going to be a weekly thing, or if they even have, like, anyone else cast it. I have no idea.
Like, maybe they just, as they make the decision, they're doing it. Like, I think that it's a sort of a marketing strategy to build hype, but I feel like there's not enough hype around this movie in the casual audience to warrant something like that. Like, if this was Avengers and they're like, or Marvel, and be like, we're going to reveal one person's allegiance for Civil War a day or something, I don't know, something that's like huge mainstream. But this is like, we're like the only ones watching this.
Like, a bunch of news outlets are like talking about it and stuff, but I feel like no one cares.
Usually most of the comments on IGN are, is Power Rangers still around?
There was a couple comments I've seen that she looks nothing like Amy Jo Johnson.
Yeah, pretty much. And that's a bonus. What was I gonna say? I feel like I don't know that much about like how other things that have a similar marketing situation handle the social media aspect, but I think it's dumb to just come up with a separate account for it instead of just tweeting it from the main Power Rangers account, which already has so many followers. Or to, like, tell the Power Force, hey, tweet this. So it's like, why don't you just do it? You got the followers.
They did anyway, so I don't even know what the deal was.
You're like the interns. I don't know, but I don't, it just seemed kind of weird to make a different account for it when they, I think they could just handle, they could handle the movie stuff and the TV show stuff from the same account, I think.
Probably the same person. But
But
I don't
yeah.
know, the movie stuff might be done by someone through Lionsgate. I don't know. I don't know how this shit works.
Don't know, but that's the thing. At least they started finally casting it.
It's always a bonus. It's always a bonus to have actors.
Is it though?
I don't know. That depends.
Typing noises. I'm actually, Brian's actually just typing his dialogue. This podcast is now subbed. But you can't even read it.
Just New York Comic Con's happening like now. Thursday is, I think, the official day. I think today was a preview day or something. But anyway, so we started to get a little bit of news, slowly but surely. Not a whole lot of pictures are coming in, but we did have one of the Legacy Falcon Zord, which looks exactly like the original Falcon Zord.
Yeah, it doesn't look impressive,
It
really.
doesn't at all. Like, the paint's a little better, and I imagine that the stickers are going to be gone in favor of actual paint applications. But there's like nothing there that, at least the way it's posed there, there's nothing to really go like, oh wow, that's cool that they updated that. Like, the silhouette's the same, there's no extra bend in the wings. His neck, I don't even know if his neck rotates because it's in the same position as the original toy. So there's just nothing on that toy that's like, oh, this is a cool update. Like, I look at the Tiger Zord and Dragon Zord and go, those are fucking pretty.
Yeah, like when we saw pictures of him, or like, or the Thunder Megazord, you're like, wow, that really. But this is like, isn't that just the same one? Not to mention, like, I hate to have common complaints, but the line is expensive in general, and it certainly has things that are a little bit more than they should be, like Titanus. But like $80 for this does seem ridiculous. Was,
Especially, that's how much the Tiger Zord was. You're
yeah.
trying to tell me that this thing is going to the same price as the Tiger Zord that has like two different modes and a ton more paint applications.
And releasing it first also seems weird here. Like, I get everyone's like, oh, it's because of Tommy, but at least with the Tiger Zord, it was like a full-on Megazord.
Yeah, you
So,
could
like,
do something with it.
yeah, so, like, while you're waiting for the Thunder Megazord to get made or not, whatever, you have a full-on Megazord, but this is just like a backpack. Like, I would almost rather them just done a full-on, a little bit more expensive Ninja Mega Falcon Zord set.
Yeah, that would have made a lot more sense to me. Like, again, I know it's just because Tommy, but this makes absolutely no sense at all to release this first. Like, you can't do anything with this thing. There's nothing to attach it to. Unless they
Yeah,
give you
it's.
some sort of way to like attach it to like the fucking Megazord or some shit.
Yeah, it's just weird. And at least, like, Tiger Zord also sort of, you know, it followed the Megazord release of, or the Dragon Zord release, and then it kind of coincided with Saba, so it all kind of made sense.
Yeah.
But this is just, I don't know,
This didn't even
weird.
coincide with like the movie morph or anything.
Yeah.
Oh well.
And we also got a little picture of the communicator, and it's like switchable bands, which look edible for
Yeah,
some
they
reason
do.
too.
It looks like candy or like crayon.
And like the little like speaker piece looks like a little colander, like I want to sift tiny noodles through it. Like, oh, okay, I can make ramen on the communicator.
I'm holding judgment to know if it like makes sounds or something and how much it's actually gonna cost. If that costs $80 too, then I'm out.
Like, if that, if it's like the watch and you got the bands and it has some sounds, I could say that the $80 is more justified for that than it is for the Falcon Zord, just because I've seen sort of propish things like that cost money, and even fucking watches themselves. Why
Yeah.
the hell you spend this much money on a watch? It's called a phone. Dear God. Like, you don't, have you seen my other timepiece? No, but that one I could see being a little more justified. But I hopefully, I think it'll kind of be neat if it's cleaned up a little bit more. It would be neat to have just for like, this is like the collection piece, and then I could just not give a fuck what happens to my Starlight Studios one.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I technically have two of them, so I have one for fucking shit up, and fucking shit up is just going to the store, and one for just sitting there. But I don't know. I assume it'll make some sort of noise. If it just plays the MMPR theme, I'll be like, come on, son.
I feel like it has to play the theme. It's like a
Like it,
rule.
but it can't just do that. Like it has to have the beeps, which I also have as a text tone. I already have it. And I don't know, maybe a couple phrases or something.
And
Like if it
lights.
has
The
that,
one in the show lit up.
yeah. And the first season one had a little antenna too.
I don't want the antenna.
The antenna's gonna be extra. It's like DLC.
And then they don't include green or white.
Well, that's going to be the second release one, the
Tommy
Tommy
Edition.
Edition. Yeah.
Even though it's virtually no different at all.
Then they can do the Gold Ranger Edition.
Yeah, that one they could do. That one's justifiable because it's different. Tommy's is not. Tommy's is just silver with a green band or a white band. It's no different.
But you can just see that coming a mile away. And then they'll release it as a Comic-Con exclusive, and everyone will freak out.
Oh my God, Tommy.
I want them to do, in 15 years, legacy Dino Gem thingies.
Yes, please.
That would be awesome. But they can't skip ahead because you'll find me
15
later.
years.
Going. Well, I don't know what they're
I
going to
think they
think.
might. I think after they've exhausted all of their resources for MMPR, I think they might skip around.
Maybe.
Give it like a
But,
fan vote thing.
like, I want them to finish season 3 at least, though.
Yeah.
Because, like, everyone started the serious complaining about, like the MMPR legacy stuff, like right when we started to get to the good stuff, like season 2 and stuff that hasn't been overdone, because whether it's actual toys or if it's like Hot Topic merchandise, season 1 is just so overdone. And like right when we got to the good stuff, people.
People are the worst.
No, that's right.
I don't remember if we got pictures of it, but Bandai UK tweeted a little quick demo video of the Legacy Blade Blaster, and that looks really good.
I didn't watch it. What does it do?
The sounds aren't phenomenal.
More like,
The
not more phenomenal.
firing sounds sound like the stuff that's in like the Dino Charge Morpher. Like the pew pew pew. So the firing sounds are really bad, and if you hold the trigger, it plays the theme because everything plays the theme. Even
Pretty
the
much.
fucking Rumble and Roar T-Rex from
Yeah.
Dino Charge plays the fucking theme. But that's not the point.
That pisses me off. They need to come out with a Tyrannosaurus Zord from MMPR that plays the Dino Charge theme,
Yes.
just to even it out.
Even the playing field. But it plays a couple like mechanical noises when you switch it from like the gun mode to like the stick, and then there's a button, and the blade like flips out automatically, and it
That's
looks
pretty
really
cool.
cool. So that's neat. I forgot when that's coming out. It's coming out in the UK like next week or something.
I still think it would be more exciting if they came out with that first instead of busting out the coolest weapons first
Yeah,
and
I
then be like, oh,
know.
hey, here's a
So
sidearm.
like, here's the dragon dagger. Here's Saba. Oh yeah, here's that stick thing. But. Nothing else yet. I'm sure there's a bunch of supercharged stuff. A lot of it we probably already know thanks to all of like the listings and stuff that Raz found, and that one distributing company put a bunch of pictures and stuff. So we know probably pretty much everything I imagine that's gonna be there, but it'll be cool to see some actual like physical pictures instead of just some marketing images. So we'll talk about whatever else is there next week. We have SH Figure Arts Turtles. It's a thing that's happening. I never in a billion years thought I would say that. But the 87 cartoon Turtles are getting, I can't really say getting figure arts releases because they're just display, so I guess there's no real
No confirmation yet.
confirmation that they're actually going to come out. But they're on display there, and they look pretty nice, so. I hope it does well enough to branch out into 2012 because I would love some really awesome 2012 figures, and the only other ones out there are Revoltex, and Revoltex are the worst thing ever.
I wouldn't mind having some for the movie either.
I'd buy those too. I mean, I'm probably gonna buy these ones. The cartoon kind of shit, but it was part of my childhood, and the classic figures are kind of not really that great. So. So I'll probably end up picking them up if they do release them, but like I said, I hope it does well enough to branch out into like the current show and the current movie, which I feel like they might do anyway. Just to jump on that band, not bandwagon, but I don't know.
Whatever the turtles car thing's called.
Turtle wagon, the party
Yeah, there
wagon,
you go.
party wagon. That's what it is. They announced, well, sort of, SH Figure Eight's Bowser was on display, along with the new playset that has a Hammer Bros. And Lakitu, I think. So that was really cool. And then Bandai Japan was like, well, okay. And Tamashii Nations put up pre-orders for him in Japan, like, as soon as the preview images went out.
Spoilers.
So if it wasn't for, like, that set of pictures being posted from preview night, Tamashii Nations would have got debunked by Japan yet again. it seems to happen frequently. But that's all I've seen from, like, Tamashii-related stuff. I don't know if there's anything else, but there's that, and there's a bunch of really awesome fucking Transformers for the next series that are popping up. But we don't really talk about that much, but they're really cool. I was actually more excited about those than anything else. Like, they look really fucking awesome. So, yeah. That's Comic-Con. We'll have more next week.
That sounds like us. We always land smack dab in the middle of news.
Yeah. I don't think there's really anything else. Hi, George. George just sent us phantom.jpg.
Oh, I just got it. Hold on. It's perfect. Oh, man.
Mock is getting a novel.
Novels. Hope it gets made into a movie or a TV show.
Oh, that is great. You can't see it. Screw you guys.
Love inside jokes. Hope to someday be a part of one. And now I am.
Precure's dub is releasing on Netflix in December. That's happening. I forgot when Bionicle's getting released, but that's also not the point. I think that's it with the news.
Pretty much. We're just rambling now, which seems like the point of the show.
Yeah, we're good at that. My cat just snored.
Which one? The human?
The furry one that lives in my room.
Ah.
Not furry A or furry B that sleeps elsewhere. Yes, we still have all of them.
How did you know that was my next question? We've also added two more.
I can just tell.
It's only a matter of time before Brian becomes Catwoman.
Slowly but surely. So yeah, that's it. So I guess now it's time for superhero time. I have no idea what he had planned for Ghost, so...
Goats. That was more like goats. Goats.
Goats.
That's the next writer. He uses various kinds of milk to transform.
But before that, you're ninja.
Sorry, I didn't watch it again. I'll be back next week, probably, unless I run away from home.
Quick summary, so I remember what happened. Oh, that requires me to remember what happened. Okay, processing. They got their asses handed to them by Kiwimon's giant robot. And then they're like, shit, what do we do? And they're like, okay, let's make more Otomanin. Because I forgot what we called them. Little testicles or whatever that we called them. Little testes? Is that what we called them?
Yes,
he was testes. There. He was there trying... Lion Hao got defeated, and so is... Chozetsu brace thingy was all like stone. He was like, well, I can fix it, but it'll take me a really fucking long time until we need to debut the new combo with Lion Hao and Gekiyatsu Dayo. It'll be fixed when that rolls around. And they're like, okay. And that's exactly what the sub said too.
And I imagine so.
You're like, well, okay, let's make some. And so apparently to make a robot, you need to just like get a bunch of clay. And you carve it.
That's how Rita made monsters.
You make it, and then you infuse it with a soul, and then it becomes an Otomonin. And they're asking Star Ninja, like, oh, how did you get yours? He's like, it was included in the online package. It's like, I don't understand this
You
show,
can buy
guys.
souls online?
Soul Infusion was part of the package.
Nobody
That's
even
is
told
what
me.
is that's like exactly what the sub said. I'm not even kidding at that time. So I don't know what's going on with the show.
Maybe that's what
But
they think cowboys say.
so they did a technique to try to infuse a soul and it didn't work, and they're like, "Oh, what do? We gotta do it like Grandpa." And then Takaharu's like, "I'm just gonna go battle now, bye." And so he runs off and they're like, "Oh, he's always running off." And little Testies is like, "Well, that's because he doesn't do things like Grandpa. He does things his own way, and I think that's what he's trying to say and stuff. I don't know." And so they run off. They start fighting the badger guy from last week because he didn't die. It was a clone. They
I don't
just
even know what's going on.
didn't want to make a new monster. And so ultimately, to get them to work, Takaharu comes up with the idea to just run headfirst into them in the most literal way possible by using the technique that Nagi used last episode. You still don't know what's happening because you didn't see last week either.
No.
But basically, it's a combination technique with their combination technique and then their transformation technique at the same time, and they go like inside the little clay thing. And it turns them into the big Zord, and they're like, "Oh, we got Zords now." And so they transform, they kick Kyuemon's ass, and then it ends, and they're like, "Oh, I don't think Kyuemon's dead. So we just gotta be on our toes. But we got cool Tominins now, go buy our toys." And so I don't.
Buy souls online.
I feel like this was supposed to be a really great episode, and it really wasn't. I don't really want to say that it was awful. It was okay on Ninja standards, but this show is just missing something entertaining. I don't really know what the something is besides just entertainment in general.
Enjoyment. It's
But,
missing that.
like, I don't even know how to describe it. Like, it's just, there's an emptiness in this show that it occasionally, like, sort of fills it, but there's, like, a hole in it and everything just comes out. It doesn't
Dear
retain
Lord.
it doesn't retain anything. This is the best description
Ninjas have
ever.
been stretched out to hell. And stuff just falls
Ninja is
right
a
out.
really loose vagina.
Oh, dear God.
The robot was cool. I like the suit a lot. I wasn't sure how to feel about the design, but the suit in the show looks really nice. I dig that. I still want a toy of Kyuemon's robot. But other than that, it was basically just them going like, "Oh, we don't need to do everything like Grandpa. We're our own people too." And I'm like, "Dude, you're on episode 32. You should have figured this out by now."
So little has happened, and we're like, what, maybe a little 10 plus episodes from being done?
Yeah, give or take, you're about 13 episodes away or so.
That's crazy. Like, I hate to sound so repetitive every week, but it really is just, like you said, there's emptiness to it, and like the fact that we're so far into it.
Like, I still don't understand what's going on with the villains. Like, we had a brief moment where, like, Kyuemon's, like plan was set in motion. It's like, "Oh, I'm gonna make these." We found out that the monsters she's been he's I keep forgetting to he
He's a shishi.
he's been using were like the I don't want to say elite guard, but like
Zack's fault.
higher up members of Kiba Oni clan or whatever the fuck it's called, the evil people. And so she was just using them and in inducting them into her his damn it school thing to use them to get these little cog things that helped power his robot thing.
So articulate, that right?
Great.
This kind of reminds me of that time. It was like the first conversation we ever had where you described to me the DK and Double movie. That was literally the first
Good
live
time.
conversation we
That
ever
was the
had.
bond of our friendship right
That's
there, that
what
movie.
solidified it, was just Brian doing a summary.
Right there. But like I said, I liked the action and the robot scene was cool, but it didn't do a whole lot for me. They're going like, oh, is QM undead? Is QM not dead? I'm pretty sure that was his or her voice in the preview, so I'm guessing no. Plus, they'd be out a really important villain. Like the villain story just isn't progressing, and their story is barely progressing, and Grandpa is still just kind of hovering around being an ass.
He's the worst.
I don't know. It could. It still has a lot of potential to end decently, but I think I've thrown out the possibility of it rebounding.
The thing about the villains is, like, we have mentioned this many times before, but it feels like they're not there. You know what I mean? Like, they don't have a presence. Like, I don't feel like, even in the weaker series, it's like this indefinable, like, thing I'm trying to describe of, like, the way the villain's presence just feels they're like a threat. Like, I just don't feel like they're there. I feel like they're this small little operation. They're like the gang member villains of the week on Arrow, like in between major plots. Like, that's what it feels like. They're like, oh no, we gotta stop the shrimp cocktails, and they're like these little guys running around and then they blow up their truck and the episode's over. That's what the ninja villains feel like, is this little tiny, like, group of villains that aren't really a threat. It just And last year we did have such a strong villain year, but it's like I'm trying to think of, like, weaker series where the villains still had a presence, but I just can't think of a time where they felt so insignificant. Even in something like Hibiki, where it was just two guys and a bunch of giant crabs, they had more presence.
Yeah, that sums it up nicely, honestly. Like
Thanks.
they don't feel there. Nothing in the show feels there. The
Like,
story of
even
the
their
good guys
base.
doesn't feel there, and the story of the bad guys doesn't feel there. Nothing is there.
Like, their base sucks. Their base is basically just what, you know, that animation in Hurricanger when they would fight things with silhouettes. That's what their base is. It's just that little room. Like, it's just this tiny little dank room. Like, it's, I don't know. Like, I can't wait to find out about next year. Like, even if next year sucks, we'll at least have that 5 minutes where we're really excited about the new pictures.
I know, right? Like, is it time for scans? Is it
Like,
December
pretty
yet?
much, like, there was times, like, way earlier on in Ninja where I kept thinking it was almost time, and it wasn't. Like, I'm like, oh, Ninja's gotta be over by now. When are we getting scans? It's episode 7. Fuck. And then it doesn't help when Rider scans come out, because there was a time when they used to come out at the same time.
I never really got to experience that.
I'm a veteran, son. I don't know what that was. All right. Well, speaking of Rider scans, should we talk about Rider?
Yeah,
So,
let's.
Drive. I didn't recognize any of the characters this week. They recast everyone. Drive's costume turned into a pumpkin. Like, what happened? Yeah,
Was
so.
so strange.
It is always weird getting into a new series, because it takes a little chunk of time to. For the current Rider series to feel like the Rider series. So, like, this is always a really weird time. But so the first episode, I thought it was okay. Unfortunately, Toku really doesn't do pilots well.
It really doesn't.
I cannot think of a Toku pilot where I was blown away and I was like, wow, this is gonna be amazing. Because
Even Gaim's like wasn't phenomenal.
yeah, it's just they're so weirdly structured. Like, there's been PR series that have done solid one episode pilots, but in general, I feel like shows like this really do awesome as two parters. Like, even Dino Charges, they didn't say it was two parts, but it basically was. So, like, I feel like it just would benefit from something like that. And they're always really different. Like, in this one, I feel like they're full on, like, buy all this shit. But then you have, like, something like Gaim's, where it was very late, you know, reserved, and they basically just showed off the belt and the weapon. I guess it depends on how many forms they have on the get-go and stuff. But yeah, just it wasn't terrible or anything. I felt like I was basically just watching a live-action version of all the scans I've read, which I guess pretty much describes almost every pilot. Because it basically just showed off all the concepts and the suits we've been reading about. I do like the ghost suits in action, even though we already saw it, like, twice in a row because of shoehorning. And I do like the idea of that, like, the people can't see him. I mean, they can be affected by him because they chop their dinner tables in half, but you know, they can't see him, and then they can't see ghosts either. I think that's a really interesting way to go about things compared to usual.
Yeah, I like that a lot. This is a lot of repeating you.
Okay, we're all just the same person.
But, like, I felt it was okay. And it didn't blow me away. The bits I did like, the villain designs were pretty cool.
Yeah, they are.
And I like ghost designs in general. I like the parka ghosts just floating around doing their shit.
Love the hoodie.
I like his general reaction to them, like being afraid of this thing that's supposed to attach to him to fully transform. So I like that. But in terms of world building, it was not good at all. I think it did a really poor job of that. Again, Toku barely does a good job usually of world building on episode one.
Pretty much.
But none of the characters really hit it off for me right away. I hate that chick.
It was she's one of those skeptical people, which I hate. Just believe. Like, the pilot was a really weird mix of, like, information dump and also, like, not enough. You know what I mean? Like, there was so much, like, they were spitting out at you at once, which is all stuff we learned from the scans. But then at the same time, it kind of dumped you right in the middle of things in terms of, like, oh, his dad was with ghosts or something. Like, and I feel like I was being dumped in the middle of his life, and I wasn't sure what was going on at the beginning. But then once we started getting into, like, the transformation and how the powers work and his mission, like, I already knew all that stuff ahead of time. Mm-hmm. So, like, that was a lot of information at once, but then at the same time, I felt like I wasn't entirely sure what was going on. Who's the bald guy? What's anybody's name? Except Takaru, which is just going to be me all year long. It's even worse. I'm in a class with people. I don't know their names. It's like the real-life version, except I can hurt people's feelings. Yeah, it was just kind of really weird in that way. I mean, sometimes Ryder will kind of drop you in the middle, but this was a weird one where we actually, one of the ones where we got to see him get the powers, but I still felt a little lost in terms of, like, his dad and, like, the situation of why. And that, why he's studying ghosts, why the bald guy's involved, why don't they have any, like, ghost hunters equipment? Do they watch ghost hunters? Do they watch, you know, Ghost Adventurers, where they're just like, come on, just hit me, bro! And they're, like, threatening the ghost with, like, super dude bro talk. I don't know. It's definitely weird in that way. Super dude bro talk. That's the way it is. Like, they're just so funny. Like, they're so outrageous. And they bring in machines that spin. They're like, it's gonna trap the ghost. It's just hilarious. Trying to think what else, and just going quickly back to, like, the form thing and debuting stuff, like, I like that the Musashi thing tied into, like, him reading about it at the beginning of the episode.
Yeah,
but I hate to be one of those people that complains about the marketing, but I hate when a new form premieres in the pilot.
Yeah, I don't really like that a whole lot, because it doesn't give you enough time with, like, the main form. I mean, I know we're gonna see that, like, a lot, but It seems so kind of, like, forced.
Yeah, it really does. Like, the setup for Musashi could have been used an episode or two down the line, and still could have been like, oh, hey, neat, he was reading about him, and then he got to use it. But in the same episode, it's just, it's too much. And especially, like, that was one thing nice about Drive, is because we had, I guess, less forms in it off the bat.
It was less forms because he had, like,
the tires,
like assistant things. It was kind of like Forze in that regard.
Yeah, and, like, see, that doesn't really bother me, no matter how many different tires he would have used in the pilot. It's just because I like the type Wild and Technic were kind of spread out, and they each kind of got their own storylines. Mm-hmm. So I kind of dug that. Like, they don't always have to have storylines. Like, I don't think Gaim had ones for the, like, Pine Arms and stuff. It was just like, you know, Michi being a little bitch before he turned evil, Kota-san, and then just threw it to him. That was the storyline. But even then, it was just a little spaced out, and I hate when it's, because the show is about toy sales, obviously, a huge chunk of it, but I hate when it's so obvious, like, right off the bat. The Musashi form's still cool, though, Kalzak Fury style.
Oh, yeah. I dig that a lot. I think it's going to get a lot at once, because we have Edison next week, and then apparently Robin Hood immediately after in episode 3. And I don't know if or when Newton's going to pop up, if he has it already, or what that story is with that one. But it's going to be a lot at once. And again, I understand toy sales and stuff, but the fact that they dump so much at one time, I think, is going to get a little bit of a bother.
What series was it? Was it Ghostager that, like, we got so much back to back, and then there was like a huge drought in terms of like in-show stuff?
Sounds there like was something.
Yeah, because I remember we had a discussion about that, like that we got so much stuff in succession, and then there was like a drought between debuts. And like, even with, in terms of the show, and like from what I remember when I was watching something when I was a kid, or even now, in terms of excitement, I like when it's more spread out, because it gives you something to look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
Like right now, you're kind of riding the, it's not like I'm bouncing off the walls, but the kind of new excitement of a new series high. So like, all I really need to be excited about is the new suit and the belt. Like that's that gives you initial hype. And then like, you know, a few episodes down the road, new form, gives you something to look forward to, and it's in a cool event. But to do it all at once kind of takes away from that anticipation of it, I guess.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I can understand that.
Trying to think about plot elements to talk about. I mean, it's all, like I said, it's all stuff we learned about.
There wasn't a whole lot. Like,
it's all stuff we knew about, just the setup.
They want to get the ghost icons to grant a wish. That's basically his goal, and the enemy's goal is just to get all the ghosts. It's like the Dragon Balls. Except
pretty
the
much
ghost icons, there's 15 of them.
The dragon eyeballs. Like, it's all most, like, the positive things I'd have to say is, like, oh, I like that idea, is all stuff we've read about.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because the setup is neat. I think it's unique. Like I said, the stuff we sort of saw in the episode, which I didn't know about, like, the invisible stuff. Like, there's some really unique elements and choices in it, but it's just most of it we already did know about.
I really hope the characters improve. Or we're going to have, like, a ninja-level dump here. Because I really don't like any of them.
Like, I really don't have any opinion of any of them. I feel like...
I just really don't like her.
Like, just mainly, just fuck her. And not in the good way. Because she was just kind of, like, the annoying, I don't believe things, even though stuff was happening right in front of her. I have no idea what to make of the bald guy. And he was just kind of a really generic lead in this episode, like a generic kind of rookie kind of guy. Like, you know, he wasn't very confident or heroic. He was just kind of like, oh my god, Ryder stuff's happening to me.
Generic Buddha.
Is there anything else happen? Any other characters, I mean? Besides the villains?
The Senin guy.
The what?
The sage.
Oh yeah, that's right. Forgot about him. And then there's like those guys at the end of the episode, which weren't really characters. They're just kind of standing there, being like,
"Oh, bad guys."
Yeah,
we'll find out more about them. At least I hope.
We'll never find them. That'll be the villains. It'll just be two guys. It's gonna be like a amateur setup, just like on a ninja.
Oh boy! Like, I hate not saying a whole lot, but
there really is never a whole lot to say. Like I said, Ryder pilots are just, or even Sentai pilots too, they're always very, they're just not very well done.
It was aggressively okay.
Aggressively mediocre.
Like coming after how great Drive ended, it was...
It's always difficult after a finale. Even like going from Tokyuger to Ninja Star, before we even like didn't like the Ninjas, just... Like I said, once you get into that groove, it becomes like the main series, and then... The last quarter in particular, you're like super invested, so there's always this really weird, like, you're not my real dad time. And you know what's funny is the fact that even with like the toy sale rushing things out, the fact that Sentai and Ryder rush their pilots is funny because they have so many episodes. Like, I've seen shows that have like 10 episodes in the whole season where they take their time more. And this series has, like, between 40 and 50 episodes, depending on what kind of year they have, and the fact that they rush through their pilot doesn't make any sense.
It really doesn't.
they really could afford to take a breather. Like, I would love for Japan to do like an hour special. Like, if this had been an hour, I could have swallowed them bringing out Musashi earlier a lot better. But yeah, Japan, gotta get your shit together. You don't know how to do pilots. Your DVD prices are off the charts. Can't even get white chicks. Dr. Phil, Oprah, I need professional help. White chick references too. All right. Speaking of white chicks, now it's time for.
Neither of them are white. Dino Chart discussions with me.
White chicks. We're actually just going to talk about the movie White
They're
Chicks, which I
both
think
of
is quite
Hispanic
funny.
descent.
That's just white. Anybody that's not black is white to me. No, I'm just kidding. That sounded super racist. This is where Kevin would just be all over me. This was the 800th episode. They brought back every character, paid amazing tribute to it.
Yeah.
I'm just kidding. I
They
didn't expect
spent the 800th episode making a bunch of fart jokes.
that. Pretty much.
They spent the 800th episode making a bunch of fart jokes and being incredibly gay. That sums up this episode in a nutshell.
Like, what's funny is, I didn't really expect them to do anything eventful for the 800th
Yeah.
episode.
The
But it, the.
fact that they were promoting it so
Yeah.
heavily was purely series marketing. It was
That's
didn't have
what's
anything
funny.
to do with this episode.
Like, that's what's funny. And apparently, it didn't do so well with ratings, which I don't think matter anyway.
No.
But it kind of made me smile because of that promotion. But I just think it's funny that there's a good chance that there's at least a little chunk of people that, you know, the casuals that haven't watched it in years, that may have tuned in. Or checked it out, and then it's like this generic filler episode.
Yeah, there was nothing special about this at all.
Like, you know my stances on anniversaries and everything. I don't think they need to make a big deal about every anniversary, but usually, like when shows hit like 100 mark, they don't even necessarily do like a celebration where they do any special references. But sometimes they'll just pay special attention to making sure that episode's good. And that's what I think. Didn't expect them to, but I think in general that would be something nice for them to do. Like, even though it was a clip show, I really liked Legacy of Power.
I loved that.
Mainly because it's
That was
so
one of the
rare.
episodes that got me back.
Yeah, and it's so rare. And back then it was so special to have like a returning ranger like Tommy and stuff, and acknowledging the history. Like, we weren't being bombarded with all these team ups and crossovers and references. So it was really like in the time where that was a really cool thing to see. And it's so rare for a ranger series to so openly acknowledge its history. And it was really cool to see that he had been recording all that, and to see the current rangers react to it. And then the little like title card at the end of commemorating the episodes, like that was a really neat way of doing it. So kudos to them for that. It would be neat if they did something like that if we ever hit 900 or 1,000 or something. Like, not necessarily like the same thing, but at least acknowledge it or pay special attention to making sure the episode's good. Not like this was awful, but I mean, if you're gonna promote it,
The
that's
episode
what I say.
wasn't awful by any means, but it was about as generic as Dino Charge can get, I think.
Pretty much.
There really wasn't any plot development in it at all. It was just look at how silly Tyler and Ivan are. Oh, look at how gay Tyler and Ivan are. And then the episode ended. Oh, and the Megazord combination too, the brilliantly named Dino Charge Megazord
You know, I
Tristega
honestly.
Taro formation.
Like, I kind of dig the naming scheme for that in terms of like when they switch arms, but I thought for this they could have come up with something cool, since it's like the, you know, that's like one of the staple forms is when the six rangers combine with the main Megazord. It's kind of like a, you know, it's kind of a bigger deal. So I thought it would have been cool for it to get its own names. Otherwise, I do kind of like the arm names in a way, but this
Yeah.
just didn't feel like the case for that. It would be like calling the Delta Max Megazord, like the Delta Squad Megazord bike formation or something like that. Like, it's just, I don't know, it didn't seem right for that. But that was like the biggest event in the episode. And it wasn't awful, but honestly, it's probably one of my least favorite ones. Mainly because, and I've seen this on Twitter, not entirely sure what it is exactly. It's a bunch of different factors, but I just do not like Ivan. Not con Ivan. I like that Ivan, but there's just something about him that just he bugs me. He's just such a giant tool, and like his performance just seems all over the place in terms of like his accent and demeanor. I don't know what it is. It's just I don't do not like the guy. Like he's had some funny lines I really like. Like the Tiz Morphin' thing was great. The famed duck mouth I thought was pretty funny. Like, but everything else
The
about him,
end killed me.
like everything else about him, I just despise. I
I
don't
don't
know what it is.
I don't hate him. I think he's fun.
It's the worst.
He's
It's like
nice to look at.
he's from the HR department. He's no Diggle. How dare you?
We'll get to him
Nobody's Diggle.
eventually. Well,
We said
then
like in the same tone, creepy twins.
the ending killed me. Between like just how absolutely into each other they were at the end. I mean, and this isn't even like fangirls going like, "Oh, there's something between them," and it's like just not there at all. Like this though, this was oozing romance right there.
It's full on man love.
It was bromance to the extreme. But oh, the selfies killed me, and then Coda like photobombed the picture. Someone taught Coda how to photobomb.
I thought the idea of Tyler having a jacket like that on his own seemed kind of dumb. Like, who would just buy that jacket if you weren't an out of time knight? Or a doctor. Like, not like a medical doctor, but like a Time Lord doctor. Seems like something a Time
Well,
Lord
I
would
bought
wear.
a jacket that we saw in the shop that you said was cool. Do you love me yet? No. It's kind of ugly on you. Oh.
It was. It's so.
Oh,
Like,
look, I bought the jacket for Ivan. It's cool on him. Grr. Ends up falling in love with Ivan instead. Screw you, Shelby. I found my man.
we are strong, independent, whatever race you said they were, men, and we don't need no woman. The one thing I liked about the Monster of the Week is that his voice wasn't one of the four voice actors Saban has. Like, you can always tell, like, there's just the same four dudes, but this one at least sounded pretty different. I mean, it very well could have been one of them, but he differentiated himself well. I know it's a kid show, but I thought the fart jokes were kind of lame.
Yeah, well, they're fart jokes.
True. I'm trying to think what else. There really actually isn't a whole lot to say.
Everything this week was basic. Like, Ninja was basic, Ghost was basic, this was basic. Everyone was fucking basic.
Just the Toku shows. Everything else was pretty awesome.
Yeah.
What's going on next week? Is there not like just in general? So what do you have to? No, for Dino Charges, Graphite finally next week? Oh no, it's like the Dino's Grander thing.
Yeah.
Big black guy or whatever they call the episode.
The enemy's name is Gold Digger.
Oh man, we gotta play the song. And then I didn't know that the enemy for next week's gonna be Kevin's ex.
Looks just like her.
I never actually saw what she looked like. Just imagine giant gold digger.
I don't remember.
You are literally a gold digger. She's Tammy one. Gold digger is Tammy one and Cordy's Tammy two. Right.
Oh, if they flew all the way into space to throw the bomb at Sledge, why didn't they just keep going and slice his ship in half?
That's the problem every single Ranger team has. It's that dumbass, like, pussy rules that Zordon came up with of don't escalate a battle. Why not? Why don't just go kill him? You know
Like
she's on the
they were
moon.
right there in front of it. All he had to do was keep going.
Pretty much. It's. Otherwise, there would be no show. And then they would kill the next villain, whatever his name is. Edickle? Heckle?
Well,
Whatever his name.
Heckle's on Sledge's ship,
Yeah, so
so.
they would kill both of their plots at one time. So, yeah, that's always like a stupid plot hole is when they know where the base is and they could probably. It's kind of like why like the villains know who the Rangers are and like they could just go chop all their heads off while they're serving Bronto burgers. But, you know, it's not that type of show. It'll be over pretty quick either way. Alright. Now it's time for...
Ramble, ramble, ramble time.
Yeah! The good stuff. Pokemon. What was this week about?
Mamoswine. They rode
oh, yeah.
Mamoswine through
oh,
the
God,
mountain.
It was so boring.
And
it
there
was
was an Abomasnow.
It was a really boring episode of Man vs. Wild. Like, it was an episode about them climbing in the mountains. I forgot. And the only thing I found funny was when Obama Snow says his name. It just sounds like he's saying Obama. He's like,
Obama!
Obama! It's really funny when you think about it. I can't believe I never thought about that before. Yeah, that was pretty boring.
Thanks, Obama.
The only thing I have to say about... It's not even about this episode, is that when I was over at my friend's this week, he has, like, DirecTV, so he gets Boomerang. I don't get Boomerang. And they air Pokemon reruns all the time. And they had Diamond and Pearl on. And, you know, I hate to be that guy, but the show's never been perfect, but it definitely had a higher quality back then.
Yeah, I miss Ruby Sapphire through Diamond and Pearl so much.
Like, they had definitely their share of boring episodes. Like, especially Diamond and Pearl definitely had its drought period. But just the filler episodes, like, the animation looks crisper now, but there's a different feel to it. Like, because there was... We had like three episodes on in the background while we were working on something, and they were mainly fillers. But it was just there's just this different feel to the way that everything is presented. Like I don't want it to be nostalgia, but there just was like there was episodes where they like readdressed Pikachu evolving and like the Wallace Cup stuff. And like my friend hasn't really watched it in years, probably since like maybe Johto, and the last game he played, I think it was maybe Heart Gold, and like I'm just embarrassed by all the knowledge I have about this, like just how much I know about the anime. Like answering all these questions, and like and then Brock was there, and I had to explain that Brock's not there, and like changing the voice actors, and man, there's just I've been following that show way too long. But I wish I got a Boomerang so I could watch reruns of those every now and then. I guess there is that, the DVDs, and like they have that Pokemon app and stuff, but yeah, that was really a better era of the show. I think Diamond and Pearl and Ruby and Sapphire was their quote-unquote golden age.
Yeah, because Mei and Dawn were both great characters, and having those contests to watch, too,
yeah,
really made the fillers feel less.
Yeah. That's why, I even if it was something like this performance thing, it would have been nice to expand on that, and I hope... Whatever the next girl is, they decide to do something better with that, because at least they don't have quite as dumb of Ash as they did in Black and White. But yeah, it's just, if we're gonna have to watch this, can you make it somewhat enjoyable?
Because Serena's aren't really interesting to watch at all, and
just the fact that she spent about half the series not even having a storyline.
Mm-hmm.
Was boring, and at least Brock would just kind of stay out of the way. He would do the hey, like hitting on a girl, like maybe once, twice an episode. But these guys are like every 5 seconds, connoisseur, science. Nothing beats the middle roles in the middle of this era, not the originals, but like right in the middle of all of them. But anyway, it's about enough of Pokemon. Should we get Fear the Walking Dead out of the way first?
Yes, please.
Alright, the finale was okay. They basically just broke in and got everybody and then went to the beach. That was the show.
It wasn't bad. I enjoyed it a lot more than I did, like, the past 2 weeks, but... I don't know. A lot of people trash Walking Dead sometimes, but, like, I'm a lot more fucking interested in Walking Dead than I was with Fear.
Oh, like, absolutely. It's a totally different
like,
show.
Like, I get what it's trying to do, and I appreciate what it's trying to do, and I think what it's trying to do is a really great story. But something wasn't there.
Executing it right.
I feel like it's probably going to be better in a second season, now that they've established the whole zombies thing and stuff. Like, it was just a lot of... They had to really push the car to get it going. And I think now that the season ended, they finally got it going. Well, the boat going, I guess. That's what they're doing. I don't know. So we'll find out what happens. It was a lot more interesting because there's a lot more zombies and a lot more people dying.
Yeah,
and apparently that's what fuels my interest in Walking Dead, is zombies and people number. Dying.
Like, the thing about the regular show is that there is some better action. And I've mentioned this multiple times, but my favorite thing actually about that the main show is just seeing the transformation of the characters and how the world's affected them, and like the character development is kind of crazy. And like, right, obviously within six episodes we're not going to get that. They kind of touched upon some changing moralities and where various people were at with that, but it was very minimal. Walking Dead definitely had a stronger first season. It was pretty concise. It kind of got you used to the world and the characters, and then they, by the time you were used to it, and you know they went back for Merle, and you kind of got this action. They had a clear goal, which was go to the CDC. So it was a lot more streamlined. And this, I think that it does have potential in the future. I think it was a very muddled first season. I never really cared about that many of the characters, or if any of them really. And I think what killed them kind of was the momentum shift. Like, I was totally fine with it starting slow. I expected it to.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense, and then it really ramped up well when the chaos started happening in the city, and there were actually some pretty exciting parts. And then I think once the military showed and they did that, you know, safe zone, I think that really killed the momentum. It was a really weird leveler. Like, the idea was interesting, and there's some interesting ideas in terms of the military reacting and stuff, but it really slowed down this great momentum they had, because the trailers made it seem like it was all about like the decline of the city, and it was just kind of about the city decline started. Now let's just stay home in our neighborhood and then go get our junky son and go to the beach.
I think the city declined too quickly.
Yeah, I didn't expect it to happen that quickly either. Like, the scenes which we saw, I think, in episode 2 or 3, I thought were from, like, closer to the finale. Yeah, I think they rushed it a little bit in some ways. Like, it's really weird because you want to get to more of the action-y stuff, but at the same time, we're almost in... I mean, it's going to be different because there's a lot more people around and a lot more people like the military that can try to exercise authority, but we're almost in a closer situation to the main show now.
Yeah.
In a lot of ways.
Like, I'm wondering what they're going to do to make it different, because like like you said, the show presented itself as like the decline of civilization, and like civilization already just got smacked in the head and killed.
Yeah,
like it's already reached a point where there's just fucking zombies everywhere. Like, they got a little bit of wiggle room to show a little bit more of the decline of civilization, since like where we're at in the normal show, like, civilization's like completely gone. So they got a little bit of wiggle room, but I don't see them being able to do a whole lot of, like, display of that decline now that basically the government's starting to just hop around and push out of these places that are getting infected, and I don't see them doing a whole lot, basically.
Yeah, because the main differences are really stuff like the walkers are fresher, so they're harder to kill.
Yeah.
And there's more people to walkers, or at least a closer to even amount. Because, like, in the main show, you have, like, stuff like the governor, where you have these cities set up, where you have, like, bandits. And so I think the main difference would hopefully come from, like I said, stuff like the military or police that are trying to exercise authority and, like, abusing it. So I still think definitely has potential, but they definitely got to things too quick. To the point where it's almost in a similar way as the main show, and I still kind of wish that they would have taken the opportunity to almost do more of an origin story. I'm like, I'm kind of curious behind like why the virus started and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It was very muddled. I'll still watch next season and see how it goes, but I'm looking forward to the main show coming back, because that's where the real action is.
Because I'm not there yet. But...
Oh yeah. Well, you still have stuff to watch, so you still get to watch that. But... And you're just getting to the good stuff. All right. Speaking of getting to the good stuff, I think Flash, right? Flash? Should we talk about Flash? Or should we do S.H.I.E.L.D. and then CW? Or either way, I'm happy.
Do S.H.I.E.L.D. and then do CW.
Okay, I'm fine with that. S.H.I.E.L.D. was pretty good this week.
Yeah.
Right, not Flash. No, I was kidding. I thought it was pretty good. It was a little slower. I didn't expect them to get Gemma back so quickly. I thought we were going to spend an episode, or at least parts of an episode, seeing her on that world, although we still, I think, might get flashbacks.
Yeah.
But that's all you have to say?
No, I really liked it a lot. It was great.
like,
I'm surprised too. I don't particularly mind, because like you said, I'm pretty sure we're gonna see flashbacks to it, and I think a lot of the journey is gonna be trying to get back there or figure out where there was.
Yeah, because she's obviously got stuff to tell, and she's obviously been affected by it.
She's got some pretty PTSD shit going on there.
She was fighting some really tiny vampires with that wooden stake she had. So
they're just fruit bats?
That's exactly. She's like, the fruit bats? It was terrifying.
But... Oh, Ward stuff. That was the other thing.
Oh, yeah. He's, episode. Like, driving people off of cars and recruit. He's got a douche frat boy sidekick now that's going to be manipulating Maze X.
Yeah. It's Von Strucker's kid. I didn't know he had
Oh, him. Yeah. That's right. So that's a thing. It's kind of funny when I was watching this episode, I was thinking about how, like, in the movies and stuff, you know, everyone's like, oh, S.H.I.E.L.D.'s dismantled. But we know, like, you know, on the show, they were kind of this rogue operation. And Hydra's kind of the same way now. Where, like, in the main movies and stuff, they're like, oh, we defeated Hydra, but you got, like, the rogue operation, so I think that's kind of funny.
Mm-hmm. I'm interesting.
You're so interesting.
I'm very Ryan. Interesting. I'm interested in seeing how, like, how far he goes in terms of rebuilding Hydra.
Yeah.
How big his army, for lack of a better term, is actually going to end up being.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting to see, because I didn't really expect that. Like, I'm really torn with Ward, because I do like his character and like his performance, but at the same time, I feel like I'm sort of done with him sometimes. You know what I mean? Like, we don't really need to be following him anymore. But I don't know. I think it'll be interesting to at least see how he handles Hydra, and like, maybe, is it going to be like he's not the only one? Isn't there actually a real Hydra, like a real S.H.I.E.L.D.?
It's just season two repeated, except with Hydra.
Except, like, their plus is the being more racist is a plus. Like, Ward isn't racist enough to aliens. We also got to see that May has been playing golf with her dad, who might be trans cousin from New Girl, I'm not sure.
I like someone tweeted, oh, look, May's dad is every animated Asian character ever.
I'm trying to remember, like, I know that May went off with her ex at the end of last year, but was there something specific that happened to her that made her so, I'm trying to remember that made her, like, kind of want to get away so badly.
I wish I could remember.
Yeah, cause I feel like there's something that, like, maybe if someone said it would be obvious, but, like, so much happened last season. Like, the only thing I really remember is, you know, her just kind of wanting a break or, like, a taste of normal life or something. And now she's just kind of hiding out with her dad. Well, now she's with Hunter, but I don't know. But at least she's probably on her way back. And Hunter's off to go kill Ward. Maybe he'll succeed. I don't know. But, you know, you gotta love Brett Dalton, because he loves puns, so he's, like, part of my pun club. Follow him on Twitter, he just constantly makes puns, it's pretty awesome. Let's see what else is happening. I'm kind of in the similar boat of Coulson, like I said last week, I still keep thinking of her as Sky. Yeah. So, like, when he was shaking her awake and kept saying Sky, I saw nothing wrong with it. Like, until Bobby pointed it out. And she's like, damn, like, I was the same way. It does kind of take a while, because, like, when I see a picture of her, I just think, oh, that's Sky. That would be hard for me as a person to get used to being called a different name.
Yeah. She doesn't
as much as I'd like to.
Anything of it, but...
Not really. Let's see, what else is there? Because it did kind of move slower up until the very end. We got that Asgardian guy to help him. To unlock the box. It's the Fox box, that's what they're calling it. I thought for sure that when the, like, explosion went off at the end, that both him and Gemma were going to be trapped there.
Yeah, I thought about that. I'm like, that just doesn't seem really like a good thing to do.
It would have been
because they have no way of getting there again.
Yeah, it would have been too predictable in some ways too. Like I said, I'm still pretty sure we'll get some sort of flashbacks, because I was interested to see more of her on that world, like, after last week's cliffhanger. I thought for sure we might spend some time there. or at least wait a couple episodes, or at least one more episode. I think there's something else that I'm just not thinking of. Damn. I just had a thought. It was like on the tip of my tongue. Damn it. Brian, speak while I'm thinking.
I don't know. Like, I don't remember anything else happening.
There wasn't. The only other thing there really was May's ex, like, trying to, like, psych-evaluate the Inhumans for the team, which they don't have yet. And as far as we know, that multi guy is the only person they have, isn't he?
Yes. I believe they said he's the only one that they've been able to keep.
Yeah. Like, everyone else they had to let go. Like, oh,
everyone else, not the right fit. Everyone like, else ran away.
I guess that is... I feel like there was more to talk about, but I guess there wasn't. But it was a good episode. Next week looks to be about... What's his name? Lincoln? Lightning guy? Guy from Tomorrow People?
Yeah, Lincoln.
John? Yeah, so...
Burroughs.
Yeah. Next week, Lincoln's going to go full Lincoln. Who have you seen? Does a yogurt commercial?
Yeah.
It's hilarious. Like, all of a sudden, I'm like, is this really happening? He's like, try this yogurt. It's sophisticated. Lincoln like yogurt. That's not how it goes, but it's really weird and hilarious. Like, it would be even funnier if he wasn't on The Flash, because ever since Prison Break ended, I've only seen him, like, 2 times in, like, a guest role. So, like, to not see this dude act for years and all of a sudden see him in a yogurt commercial, that's weird. So, that's our discussion on yogurt commercials. But, speaking of, that's a good segue, though, into The Flash, yes. I think. The Flash. The Flash was fantastic.
I missed it so much.
It's so good. Like, I think it was the best of this week's show. Spoiler alert.
No, I 100% agree with that.
It's just so well done. Just in general, before talking about the episode, but just specifically the show, like, with the characters and the acting and the storylines, and even just, I love the music so much. It really adds to it. But yeah, it's so well done, and they really came back in a great way, and it was very disorienting at first, because they had that whole, like, bit where they basically just had everybody in the cast there.
Delusion.
Yeah, and then even, like, starting off with him fighting Captain Cold and Heatwave, and, like, for a second I thought that was going to be, like, an alternate universe or something, and that was going to be the start of it. But it was just him kind of daydreaming, and it was kind of surprising to learn that everyone had sort of split up, especially considering how, with the exception of, obviously, you know, they were in peril last time, but before that, everyone was super close before it. And it seemed very out of character at the very beginning for Barry to want to go solo, like Oliver Queen style, but then it definitely made sense when you learned, like, what happened to Ronnie and stuff, because I could totally see that, because all that stuff did kind of happen as a result, like, of what they were doing.
Because, I mean, he had... why can't I remember his name?
Eddie?
Yeah. He had Eddie's death on his shoulders, he had Ronnie's death on his shoulders, and, like, that's two of his friends that are dead because of something that he did or couldn't do, for that matter. And so, I mean, that's a lot on your mind.
Yeah, so it definitely made sense, and I like that it wasn't just a random out-of-character decision just for this device of... the storytelling device of getting them all back together. Like, after you find out what happened, it really did make sense, especially for, and then it did make sense for Barry's personality, because he is such a good guy, and that it would weigh on him so heavily. I don't feel like he's really to blame for either of them totally. I mean, both of them were essentially the other person's decision. I think Eddie's even more so. Maybe he shouldn't have tortured all those vampires over on the Vampire Diaries. And it basically, Ronnie's death is the fault of the Legends of Tomorrow people who decided not to cast him. And for whatever reason, I don't know what that's about.
What happened?
Like, you know, because, you know, on Legends of Tomorrow, we only have one half of Firestorm as part of the main cast.
Oh, I can completely explain that if you want me to.
Why?
Well, in the comics, the other Firestorm is Jason Rush. And he's a black gay. He's one of the characters that was in season one. He was that black guy that helped on Project Firestorm.
Oh.
They met with him at the coffee place I can't remember what actual episode it was. But this, so that character was in there already, but that's not who they're bringing in.
So they are bringing in somebody.
There's a character on Legend of Tomorrow. They're probably going to introduce him in the Flash beforehand, I would imagine. Jay Jackson. And he's going to probably be Firestorm. So.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They're basically taking the Jason Rush story, except just replacing it with a different person.
Now I feel like an idiot. Well, but just from the get-go, though, I wonder why they decided to do that instead of using Ronnie.
It was just because his movie career's taking off.
Oh.
He didn't want to commit to the role and then go, I can't do it because of the movies and stuff. Okay. He just didn't want to commit to it with his career taking off. So
I was just curious because, he seemed really into being in the show and stuff. And, before I knew that, it did seem weird. And especially since him being on Legends Tomorrow would be, and they always do the freaking crossovers, would be, a good way of keeping him in everyone's orbit. So, all right, that makes sense now.
And basically with Earth 2 being a thing and everything, they said that he's definitely going to be in the show again at some point, somehow.
Yeah, the actor even tweeted, he says, you haven't seen the last of me, so. So now that's all cleared up. All right, now we know. Some black guy named Janet Jackson is going to be another Firestorm.
Janet Jackson is a new Firestorm.
No, but all right, so that's a thing. But yeah, now that that's cleared up with my idiot brain, kind of a lot happened. I mean, I feel like there's this huge plot hole in terms of how are they all still existing if the person that's responsible for half of their life actions doesn't exist anymore. I feel like they're going to touch upon that, though.
I think it's just a matter of the fact that everything in that timeline had happened already. That even though he was wiped from existence,
because I was thinking
the events that happened couldn't have been changed.
Part of me was thinking it was because he became Dr. Wells and Dr. Wells still existed. But. There's still stuff he did before he became Dr. Wells, so weebly wobbly, timey wimey. I still feel like they'll probably touch upon it, though. Obviously, because they're doing all of the alternate universe stuff, so I still think that will be addressed. And I still don't think it's the last we've seen of that Eobard.
I doubt it. I think we'll probably see him again at some point. I know Tom Cavanaugh is in the show at some point.
Yeah.
I think they said he's supposed to be Harrison Wells of Earth 2, I think.
Yeah, but with Earth 2 and just them opening up the multiverse in general, we could see 10 Harrison Wells by the time the series is over. But it's just going to be a spinoff called My Harrison Wells, and it's just a bunch of 10 Harrison Wells living together in an apartment. But I just feel like that's not the last we've seen of that version, even though he was erased from existence, just because there's still so much unresolved. I feel like they'll probably touch upon it. It's not as huge of a deal just because I'm so used to shows like this with time travel and alternate realities and paradoxes and stuff. But, that was my biggest question because, that happening literally caused that wormhole.
Mm-hmm.
And then it's if you just do one part spinny running and one part blowing up fire guy, you fix paradoxes. So it's all okay. And everyone remembers him, but he's never born. And I don't know. So that's a thing. Barry's dad is a complete deadbeat dad. Thanks for getting me out of jail. No, I'm out of here. I was about to leave you the day before your mom was murdered. Fucked my plans up. But now I get to leave you for real. Suck it, Fives fans.
What was his reasoning exactly?
I think his reasoning is they can't get the actor all the time.
Or yeah,
they
can't find I imagine he's not the easiest person to get. But
his reasoning is basically that he said something you need to be the Flash or you, and you don't need to be whatever his name, Allen's son. I forget his name, Henry Allen's son. Basically, that he just wanted Barry to be able to be himself and, not worry about his dad or I don't know. I get it, but I don't get it. Can you at least stay a week? Come on. But you know what? I'm kind of fine with it because he already has the perfect dad, which is Joe, who's the black dad. Like, every time Joe's on, I just hear you saying he's the black dad you've always wanted. Like, especially this week,
It's
because there were
true.
so many good scenes. Where, because then I was thinking when he was out, I'm like, we don't really need him. I mean, he's already got a better dad. But I don't think it's the last we've seen of him for all time. He'll probably pop up occasionally, just like when he was in jail, except without the bars. So like I'm not I think the reasoning of him leaving so quickly seemed kind of flimsy. It's probably the one weak point of the episode for me. I think it would have felt more natural if maybe they'd waited a couple episodes in and him saying, "Hey, I'm gonna leave now," instead of like right after you brought him home. But I'm fine with it just because I do like Barry's relationship with his dad, but I way prefer his relationship with Joe. It's just a lot stronger for me. Speaking of Joe and like funny relationships, him and Cisco are also the best. To be fair, you put Cisco in a room with anybody, and it's the
They're the
best.
best buddy cop duo.
Yeah, like, and him wanting a badge and just everything about that was great.
The
Like, just, I love it so much. I just, Cisco, like, we won't talk about the end right away, but just skipping to the end where he's like, no one can get in here, and Gay Jarek walks in, he's like, for real? Like, you fucking killed me. Like, Cisco is just the absolute best. Like that scene, I feel like is a really good summation of how awesome the show is because it's this really good dramatic reveal for the plot. But then you got Sisko just being like, "For real?" Like, oh, Sisko's so good, and like him hugging Stein when he named Atom Smasher,
Just gives him this big hug.
like he was just
Welcome to
so
the team.
he was just so genuinely happy. It's just, it was so good. There's so many great little character moments like that.
I like that Stein's. I imagine he is like is kind of a regular until
Yeah.
Legend starts.
Yeah. Because I really liked his character. I thought he was a good fit for everything. Which is kind of funny. I talked about them not bringing Ronnie over, but out of the two halves of the current Firestorm, the Stein probably is my favorite. Because Ronnie is kind of generic. What else? Yeah, Caitlin's working over at Mercury Labs. It's like the anti-Star Labs.
Traitor.
Yeah, because she unfortunately has had to deal with this guy dying twice. In a way, this kind of echoed the pilot in some ways, because she's dealing with pretty much the same situation. But there were some good scenes there as well with her and Barry, and I like that she didn't blame him. And it looks like, and she's back in the fold now too. It was just such a good episode.
It was like I finished the episode and I was just like, that was fantastic.
Something I really like about it is that the main focus of the episode was essentially like the character focus of the aftermath of the season finale, but like it also like. Sort of subtly, as the B plot almost of Atom Smasher introduced what's going to be the A plot of this year, and of like this metahuman who was from a different world and is being sent by Zoom to kill. He's being sent by Protozoa. Like, why are you trying to kill me? And then he just starts playing Zoom, Zoom, Zoom from Xenon. So I think that was really well done. That they managed to focus on more of the character stuff, but introduce the new plot. Well, in this.
I don't know if it's intentional or not, but his dad leaving like that totally makes it like try to look like his dad's Zoom.
Oh, his dad's totally Zoom. Well, but Zoom's from a different timeline.
This is evil dad.
Oh,
I'm
okay.
just saying like the way that the show is like set it up. Like I said, I don't know if it was intentional, but like his dad leaves and then there's this big threat looming that
Yeah.
knows all the shit about the Flash.
Maybe both dads are gonna fuse like Super Android 17 into Super Dad Droid 17.
Nailed it. That's exactly what's gonna happen.
I think it'll be interesting to have this other villain that's not, well, sort of not Wells, and it's still also confusing because Zoom's one of the Reverse Flash names, and like so many people referred to Wells as Zoom,
Yeah.
And so
But
it's
this is
like,
like different Zoom.
Yeah, it's different, and it's like weebly wobbly timey wimey, and there's always so many questions I want to know in this show. Like, there's always these new plot lines and questions opened up with Zoom and the alternate dimensions, but then you still have stuff left over from before as well. And then of course you got Gay Jarek showing up at the very end. So it's going to be a good season, I think, for sure. Because we have him showing up at the end, and he's obviously going to be major in next week and for real and all that stuff. And just, it's so good. I love it so much.
It's definitely the show I missed, the show that I'm most glad is back, and was probably, I think, the best show that was on this week.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
It always hits it out of the park. Always. Like, I've never been disappointed with The Flash at all. I mean, granted, it's only been one season, but still.
But still, it's very rare for shows to have such a strong first season. Not only did I just miss it in general, but also had one of the best cliffhangers.
Mm-hmm.
So, you had to come back. Because usually I watch S.H.I.E.L.D. live and record Flash, but I had to do the opposite this week, so I'm like, I got to know. All right. So now, the other half, Arrow, you ready? Are you
Flash else? And Flash? S.H.I.E.L.D.'s on the same time for you?
Yeah.
That's unfortunate.
I know, it really is.
My S.H.I.E.L.D. butts up against iZombie.
Oh, so because mine's on it. It's 8 o'clock Flash and S.H.I.E.L.D., and then at 9 is iZombie. So there's a lot of things that are on at the same time for me. Tomorrow's crazy. I think Heroes and Sleepy Hollow and Vampire Diaries are all on at the same time or something like that. It's pretty crazy.
I don't think I watch anything on Thursday.
Watch everything on Thursday. But yeah, anything else left to say about The Flash before moving to Arrow?
No.
All right. I thought Arrow was pretty good.
It wasn't nearly as good as Flash, but it did a lot of really cool things, I think.
Yeah, it definitely, I agree that Flash was better, but this was definitely good, and I think sets up some really good potential. There's a lot of aesthetically pleasing things in this episode. I really like the new Arrow suit, the Green Arrow suit.
I thought you were going to talk about Laurel.
Oh, I was getting to it. I was saving the best for last, but I always liked the Red Arrow Arsenal Speedy suit, but I honestly think it looks best on Thea. It looks really neat. And of course, Laurel. In the trailer, I thought it was just because her wig fell off or something, but apparently she fucked the wig. And it's like, I always thought she looked good in the suit, but it's like, fuck me, taking the wig off just did it for me. I'm really into wig strip teases, so no, but she looked really good without it. I thought it looked really, it conceals her identity like crap. Compared to everyone else in terms of not being able to tell it's them, the wig sort of takes away any, anonymity she had, but I think it looks a lot cooler. I don't know about you, but
I think they're all kind of levels of fail.
Well, true, at least they have sort of hoods so you can, I don't know. But even Barry's, because you don't have,
I think,
the full-on...
I think Diggs actually, got the best concealment now.
And if he puts the visor on, especially... Well, you know who had a really good one was Canary Original Recipe? Because she had, she had the mask, but then she, colored the eyes in the surrounding area and the wig. So, you obviously knew it was her, but they look pretty different if you stand, Sarah next to Canary.
Mm-hmm.
Especially compared to everyone else. At least with Arrow and Speedy, you got, the hood and a little bit more concealment. But Laurel's just Laurel in a mask. Because she doesn't have the traditional black eye thing surrounding her, so she just puts the mask on, which I think looks good for the suit, and I'm not complaining, but still that looked good. So I just wanted to talk about that. But now into actual things, the best suit actually was just Retirement Ollie in his hoodie, and you have failed this omelet. I thought it was pretty funny.
I died.
That was great.
You have failed this omelet and, nailed it.
And I think it's funny that Felicity's the one that got antsy in that life, and Oliver was pretty much just fine becoming Mr. Mom. I like that idea. Just, it's really funny. I want a sitcom about Oliver just hosting his own cooking show. And, like, he really seemed to enjoy it just because he's obviously been through a lot more traumatic things. Not that Felicity hasn't been through things, but, man, has Oliver been through a lot. And he got his shadow tattoo removed, which I don't know how she didn't notice it till then. I imagine they've been having quite a bit of the sex. And she's just like, oh, hey, you removed a tattoo. Which I don't know much about it, but isn't it much more of a painful process than, like, hit erase button? I don't know. I don't know why I'm spending so much time on the tattoo.
Why did you get rid of it? I don't need it anymore.
mainly because, was it Slade forced him to get that tattoo on a boat? So it wasn't really by choice. It wasn't really a good memory. Let's see, what else? There is quite a bit to talk about. Damien Dark's here, and he has psychic powers of sucking the life out of people and stopping arrows.
It's because he dumps his blood into a bowl.
That's how you do it. You just dump your blood into a bowl and
he dumps his blood into a bowl and goes, pretty please, give me magic powers, and he gets it.
He just says mystical gibberish. That's what the subtitle says. And what's funny about him is that I think he's pretty interesting so far in terms of he's the first... like, main, really the first real supernatural villain we've had on Arrow. Mm-hmm. I mean, I guess technically the first supernatural villain, because everything else has been science-y, but we got, like, that fake Peter Capaldi and stuff, but Arrow still, even last year, for the most part, stayed more grounded-esque, with the exception of stuff like the Lazarus Pit, but, like, this is the first time we've had, like, full-on, like,
full-on power. Mysticism.
Yeah, and I think that's really neat, that it's being defined as mystical and not scientific, and it's clearly all this is going to tie into, like, Sarah's resurrection and Constantine's appearance and stuff, and, like, knowing that kind of makes it neat. And there's obviously Oliver recognizing stuff he's seen, which I've no doubt is going to tie into the flashbacks this year.
Yeah.
So that's really neat, like, that you can already see the pieces of that moving, so I think that'll be some cool stuff to follow. The Dolly romance is still suffering, so we got to get that fence mended real quick, because it's breaking my heart.
It got mended a tiny, tiny bit.
Like, even
Layla's just like, you need to chill. Lila. Well, fuck you.
Sorry.
No, I'm done.
Look,
I quit.
You knew about Firestorm. I get Lila. It's the relish. But yeah, even she forget it. She's like, whatevs. Shit happens. Dude was like, no. I do not live by YOLO. So that is kind of sad, though. Like, all jokes aside, just because it was one of the better friendships on the show. And no doubt it'll probably be back sooner rather than later, but still.
Mm-hmm.
But in one way, though, I do like that they're not just glossing over it. But it's still kind of crappy to see, since everyone else seems to be fine. I kind of love Thea's enthusiasm for being a vigilante.
This is so fun!
Like, it's just kind of funny, and it's just crazy to think about how far... I guess both her and Laurel have come from, like, the first season, where they were just kind of the clueless characters that would appear to be like, oh, we don't know anything. Especially Thea, who was even more so annoying in the first season when she was all druggy and stuff, and now, like, they're both out there suited up.
I forgot Laurel had her druggy phase.
Yeah. Well, I was talking about Thea. Remember the first season when she's like, oh, I have vertigo, I crashed my car, whatever she was doing in the first season.
But yeah,
Laurel was, like, more annoying in the second season, but, like, I guess Laurel still had a more prominent role, but Thea, especially early on, was just kind of there just for random scenes and for occasional angst about, like, her drug problem and whatever trouble she was getting into. So it's kind of neat how far she's come. But I just enjoyed that aspect of it, that she was so excited about it, and she's having Lazarus Pit problems of punching people out.
I hate everything.
But anybody who wears that suit apparently just has roid rage, or as I like to call it, Roy rage. Roy sweated some of those steroids off into the suit, so she is getting some of those residuals. So you got that going on. Captain Lance is working for the enemy for some reason. He's got, like, blackmail over him. And he also didn't see through Oliver's amazing ski mask disguise at the beginning of the episode. There was a deleted scene where Felicity shot down Oliver's idea for a new vigilante name just called The Mask, where he just wears a ski mask everywhere. Like, it was, everyone just gonna think you're Jim Carrey. He's like, no, I swear, this is a really cool idea.
This is the best. Don't worry about it.
I love that Cisco made the suit.
I love the tiny interconnectivity between the two shows.
Yeah, like, it's subtle when it needs to be, and it doesn't feel forced, and it really makes it feel like this one living universe. Like, even stuff like mentioning the Flash Day and stuff like that. It's really neat. And I imagine it's going to get even cooler when, like, Legends of Tomorrow pops up and stuff. What else?
There was two different Green Lantern teases.
Was there?
Part
of another in Coast City.
Part of the Green Lantern coast oath was on the Coast City welcome sign in the flashback.
Oh, and I didn't.
And then, like the very first part of the flashback, when Oliver's in the bar, the first thing you see is someone with a jacket that just says Jordan on it.
Oh, I'll have to go back and watch that.
I really want that Green Lantern show, guys. Come on,
you got to do it.
You keep teasing me, and
that would be an awesome one to add to it. Like, seriously. Like, I know they're doing the Green Lantern Corps movie, but if they just did one that's focusing on, like, Hal or Jon Stewart, like, that would be fine. Just one guy. I mean, we're already going to have, eventually, two Flashes and possibly two Green Arrows. I don't know what their plans are in Green Arrow. I know they're doing a Flash movie. You know, they did have Amanda Waller, and they said the Argus name in there once, and I was like, I don't understand, I'm confused. Like, my mind exploded. I just saw there was another one in the trailer, and they said Argus in the trailer. How was there two of them? And then I had a seizure. So, I don't know whether they'll phase it out later, but I'm glad they're not completely ignoring it or anything. It will be really awkward and unnatural. The flashbacks, I'm not entirely sure where they're going, other than I'm pretty sure they're going to do, like, mystic stuff, but I'm surprised they went back to the island already. Because I honestly kind of assumed, this was just my theory, is that they were going to spend this year off the island and then next year go back, since it wouldn't be the last year of flashbacks they have. Because he's always like, I spent 5 years on an island. Like, BS. Sitting there, Coast City, drinking, doing like a little mini Arrow routine. He looks like druggy Arrow. Like, he had the hood.
Does.
And like his scruff everywhere, and like his eye makeup looked like he's crying mascara. Like, he looked so bad. But yeah, I think it'll be interesting. I hope the flashbacks will be more interesting than last year's. I think there's some interesting stuff going on so far, at least in terms of hinting at it, but I get a feeling that he won't be on the island the whole time this year, but I was surprised to see him go back already. I think it's kind of interesting that, like, right now in the present, he's, like, heading into this new identity as the Green Arrow and, like, away from the Arrow and the darkness and, like, but then in the flashbacks, he's heading towards that.
Yeah.
I think that's kind of interesting and kind of how, in a way, like, in the early flashbacks, before he started going through experiences, you kind of had this little bit lighter of an Ollie and like his delivery and stuff, and then like you had like super broody Ollie in the future, and like now it's like the opposite, where Oliver's a little bit more laid back and then he's becoming more broody in the flashbacks. I just think it's kind of neat that they're sort of colliding into each other. If there's ever season 6, what are they going to do? Flashbacks? No flashbacks.
They're out of
like
time.
Flashbacks, the lost episodes. Like, it's just episodes about him and Slade finding some Captain Crunch somewhere on the island and eating it. I don't know, but yeah, I don't think there's too much else to say. He totally, like, you know, outed himself as the Green Arrow. He has these, like, wait, Dig, there's one more thing. We got to make a YouTube video.
Like, we got to Instagram that joint.
Like, it was so funny because he made it seem like he needed Diggle, but all he did was stand in front of a camera and had everyone look at him. Like, wait, before you go, man, you know I do my best work when you're watching me. That sounded really gross. But, like, God's made this video. So that was pretty funny. And, like, it's so obvious. It's just, like, the Arrow in a fancier costume. But I guess it works. I mean, in terms of, like, the general public.
Arrow is dead. I am in no way the Arrow.
I'm not the
My
Arrow.
My name is Green Arrow.
Like, everyone's like, that's legit. There's no way that's the Arrow.
I am green. Wait, you were already green.
Like, yeah, but like, I'm way more committed to green now. Like, this costume's 100% organic. I got it all from Whole Foods. The question is Thea gonna get her way and be called Red Arrow, or is she just gonna be Speedy?
Think she's speedy forever.
I'm fine with that. I still think it would have been cool to be Artemis, but still. Something I just thought of from the I'm the Green Arrow bit. Damn it. Oh, no, yeah. But Roy, in like the, very beginning of the episode where they say last season on, they totally made it seem like Roy died. Like, they just showed him getting stabbed, but didn't bother to mention that he's still alive. So, like, if you're a new viewer, or maybe you just forgot, you might think Roy's dead. Poor Roy. He's off being a mechanic somewhere else again. Thankfully, his mechanic hat game was on point. But I don't think I have too much else to say. It was a very solid premiere. I enjoyed it. I think this year has a lot of potential. Oh, how could we forget the freaking last scene? Somebody dies, and it better not be Diggle. Like, I hate to say it, but if it has to be Felicity or Diggle, Felicity. I'm sorry.
I was trying really hard not to bring it up because I don't want to talk about it. Like, I don't want the thought.
I forgot about that. How could I forget about that? Like, that was a pretty great way to end the premiere, though. I feel like it can't be Felicity because it seems so obvious because that they were talking right before the scene. But then, what if that's what they want you to think? They're
Yeah.
getting in my head, but I hope it's not Diggle. Like, I was annoyed with Felicity last year, but I still like Felicity. But honestly, if I had to be one or the other, don't be Diggle. And it could be somebody either that's not them. It could be Lance or something. But like the fact that Barry showed up tells me that. I mean, obviously he's Oliver's friend, but I feel like at least at this moment in time, he would show up for Felicity, obviously, or Diggle because he knows him and is part of Oliver's team. But I couldn't see him showing up for Lance or somebody like that.
Yeah.
I mean, it technically could be anybody. It could be Thea. It could be Laurel. It could be Sarah again. Third time's the charm. Or is it the fourth time? No, it's the third. I don't know. It could be anybody of the people. Of the people. It could just be some
I
random
think
dude.
Thea or Felicity are probably the ones that they want you to think of.
Yeah.
I mean, I guess there's always a possibility it could be Dig, but I don't know. Like, with Barry showing up there, like, I mean, it could just be a sympathetic sort of thing, but with Barry showing up, it, like, really drives home the fact that it's probably Felicity, even though I don't think it is.
Yeah.
But.
But like I said, then what if that's what they want you to think? I don't know. What do you do in those inclement weather? What do you wear? What if it's just Oliver from Earth 2?
I forgot that could potentially be a thing.
Like, fuck. I'm dead,
Because
man.
Earth 2 is now everywhere. Even though I don't think Earth 2 is really going to play a part in Arrow, but I guess it could. I don't know.
If they do a crossover episode, like, I feel like it's going to be one of those things where once the season's over, or mid-season, I don't. I guess it might be a mid-season thing. I'm not sure.
The only thing I know for sure is that whoever is dead, it is
Three
permanent.
seasons. Yeah. Well.
They said in interviews that the person that is dead is not coming back.
Damn. Please don't be Diggle. Or Daryl. They're going to kill Daryl off on Arrow. I know it. It's going to be Glenn. No. But yeah, that was a great way to end it, in terms of like grabbing your attention, and Barry showing up kind of added to it with the cluage. I don't know. So I definitely think this year has potential to be pretty good, and we'll see how it evens out in the next few episodes. But I think they did a good job with tone. Like, I know they said it was going to be lighter, which I don't want to say I was worried about. I always want it to be dark, but I didn't want it to lose its Arrow feel, and I think they did a good job of keeping the show's like core feel while also
Yeah, I
lightening
didn't
things up
notice a
a little bit.
huge change, honestly.
Yeah, I mean, I think there was like a few more jokes than usual, but that's what I was hoping for. Like, I didn't want them to try to be something they weren't. Like, I don't need them to be dark and broody, but I always like the show to have the same feel, so I think they did a good job here. But yeah, we'll see. Just start a campaign to make sure it's not Diggle. What if it's just Roy? I mean, they already think he's dead anyway. I honestly thought Captain Lance was going to die last season for some reason. Maybe, like, the secret is that Captain Lance and Barry just getting this, like, huge bromance over the next 6 months, so that's why he showed up.
That's exactly what happens.
Seems right.
All right. Like I said, Barry could just be showing up for support and not even give a shit who died.
Yeah. Like, all of his kind of addiction was, like, need anything, just leave me alone. I'm Broody Ollie again. And then Barry was just like, doodly do, and then he, like, zoomed off. That's not what he did.
I did like that they referenced Zoom.
Yeah. It was a good way to tie into what's going on.
Zoom, yeah.
Protozoa. Xenon.
Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Zoom. Cetus Lapidus runs off. This is a problem major. So many Xenon references in this episode. Alright, was there anything else for Ambleton this week? Except Doctor Who is not there. We'll be there next week to do... I guess that's the way we've done it so far anyway. We almost might as well keep that model of just doing the two parts together.
Yeah.
But I don't think there was any other shows. Nope, but there's still... Oh, it's iZombie!
Oh, yeah.
I'm already dead. So there we go, iZombie. Also, a pretty strong premiere, I thought.
Yeah, It was kind of more run-of-the-mill-ish, I think. But I like how they managed to, like, introduce both Blaine and Max Rager again as the quote-unquote villains, but still keep it interesting.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, I feel like this is less of, like, season two and more of just, like, more of season one.
Yeah, it's because season one was shorter. Like, I like that they kept the aftermath of season one and didn't try to resolve things too quickly. Like, Keeley's not back yet. Major has been put in an even more interesting situation. Because I mentioned to you before, like, how I was really surprised at the turn his character took with, like, hunting down the zombies and stuff and becoming this badass. But the fact that he's going to be essentially assassinating him for Max Rager, I did not expect that at all.
Yeah, I didn't either.
He didn't even keep that little wisp of blonde in his hair. I thought he was going to keep that. Because him and Blaine have that super zombie goosebumps now. So they know when zombies are around.
It's a new power.
It's the new power of goosebumps. It's just that, it's that power of that creepy feeling you get when you feel like there's somebody behind you. Everybody has that power. I thought her as a like with the old man personality was pretty amusing.
Her personalities are always amusing.
Like... Yeah, she does a really good job at that. It's really funny. And I totally would have been as mad as that guy if somebody tried to kill my dog. I'm just saying. I think he should have got a reduced sentence because guy totally kidnapped his dog.
I didn't care about and like what.
Anyway. We're talking about how Blaine caused my cable to go out.
Blaine's just the cause of everything.
Pretty much. Oh, I think I was talking about Major and how he's an assassin. Is that what I was talking about? The wisp in his hair. Oh, yeah. I was talking about how that guy should get a reduced sentence because I would have totally defended my dog, too.
Yeah.
Crimes against dogs are way worse than crimes against humans. Everybody knows that. What else is happening? Because Major's working for the guy now. Blaine's like working in a funeral home and still selling the drugs. Liv's brother's like super pissed at her because she didn't want to give him that zombie blood.
Like, it's one of those situations where you just get really frustrated because it's like, she's doing the right thing. You just don't understand.
Can't you just accept what she says? And you're fine anyway. What are you whining about? That's what you get for applying at a place called Meet Cute.
It's a great name for a business.
I wonder if... Is Keeley even going to be on this season?
I have no idea. I haven't heard anything.
Because she's got the new roommate, which is the assistant for Max Rager.
Oh, yeah, God. She's going to die. She's already dead, though.
She's going to die again. But yeah, I still thought there wasn't a whole lot necessarily to go over, but I thought it was a solid premiere, and Since we haven't talked about it, it's a very good show. Last season was really well done, I thought.
Yeah.
It's a pretty good balance between like procedural, like stuff of the week, and keeping like the ongoing storyline going every week still. And it's just pretty enjoyable. It also balances all of its different tones very well, you know, with the storylines and some of the drama elements, and the humor is always pretty on point. So yeah,
I always just love her performances. Like,
yeah, she does a great job at like doing these different kinds of personalities to it, and like still keeping like a level of her in it. I was trying to remember. I feel like this is when we used to talk about Two Broke Girls. I'm trying to remember some of the lines that she said that were pretty funny. Oh, damn. So I was going to do it unsuccessfully, but the old man persona was just really funny. All right, anything else?
No.
All right. Now it's time for...
Tweet, tweet, motherfucker!
Oh, God. You, like, cut out from me all crazy.
Like, can you unfortunately, hear me now? It won't come out any better on my end. What?
Not again. You're cutting out.
God, you're the worst.
I thought I was going to sneeze. Okay, Kieran Foster's was... I'm paraphrasing because I don't have it right in front of me, but it was essentially what like historical figure or person would you make into a ghost icon, and what would their powers be?
Iwata. I want the Iwata ghost icon.
What would his power be?
Just to be able to program video games really fucking good.
To give like very specifically styled directs. Like speaking like perfectly slowly. I want to be the ghost icon for... Shit, what's that guy's name that did the Sony conferences that always put his hands together? Damn it.
Was it Phil? You know,
maybe. I don't know. But, like, that guy's... the writer icon's power is just to hold his hands together in a specific way when he gives speeches. Or just, like, the Bear Grylls ghost icon to just be one crazy son of a bitch. You could just be George Washington icon. You could just be like, first president. Or his powers would be that he could never tell a lie. Was that him? Or was that Abe? I don't remember.
That's Abe.
Classic Abe.
Classic Lincoln.
The same guy. I want the Samuel L. Jackson ghost icon so I can just be in every science fiction movie of all time. He's in a Capital One commercial I'm looking at right now. The Diggle ghost icon. Your power is just being amazing. Is he a historical figure? Yes.
I think so.
You could just be the Gary Gergich ghost icon and you're just the worst.
You're just the worst at everything.
Except but obviously,
being a true friend.
The best ghost icon, though, is obviously the Ron Swanson one. We're doing just people. Like, not historical figure. Ron Swanson is a historical figure. I'm trying to think of any, like, more legit answers. The Doctor, that's not. He's real. Everyone knows he's real.
Yeah. That's just true.
Okay. The second question was, which kind of ties in with ghost stuff this week, is one of George's questions, which is, again, paraphrasing more or less, do you believe in paranormal stuff, ghosts, poltergeists, stuff along those lines? My answer is yes. I absolutely believe in stuff. Brian does too. He just fell over because the ghost did.
No, 100% yeah. Like, absolutely.
It's one of my top fears.
I can't, like, give... like proper explanation on why or anything like that, but I just do. I it's just a feeling.
I totally believe in like everything of all time. I believe in ghosts, mermaids, Bigfoot.
I believe in a thing called love.
Gay. But yeah, I totally just I watch all those types of shows, whether it's like ghost hunters type thing where they're actually trying to hunt down ghosts or if it's supernatural, just all that stuff fascinates me and I totally think it's real. It's just like it's funny because I was talking about this with my friend multiple times, but like, he's like terrified of things like Bigfoot or werewolves. Like, though, I mean, honestly, if I came across a Bigfoot or a werewolf, I'd be pretty scared. But the thing that scares me about ghosts is you can't fight them. Like, at least if there's a Bigfoot, I could unsuccessfully try to fight it. But like, you can't fight a ghost. It's scary. Look, everything just scares me.
You need Ghostbusters equipment.
You need, what is it, salt and iron to get them and just burn everyone's bones and we'll be fine. But yeah, just I definitely believe in all that stuff. I thought it was just a fitting question for this week.
I've heard enough stories to believe. Like, my mom lies to me a lot, but like I hear stories from that side of the family all the time about their supposed haunted house that they lived in. And I don't know, I trust them. I don't see a reason not to believe, so.
There's this story that my uncle told me when I was little, which scared the crap out of me when I was little. I don't know why. I think it was just because I was so little, but it was like I think his great grandfather, they used to own like a farm or some sort of property up here, and he sawed himself in half. It was like a, not like a trick or something. It was like a wood sawing machine, and he got caught in it or something. And I guess like when he used to have kids, then they used to sneak out at night, like in the middle of the night when they were gone, he would rearrange the furniture so when they would come home, they would trip all over themselves, so you'd know that they snuck out. And like where that their farmhouse or whatever it was, there's like a restaurant there now, and there's like stories that they would come home like to open up the restaurant in the morning and all the chairs would be rearranged. And like when I tell the story now, it doesn't sound that scary. When I was little, it freaked me out.
That's still freaky, like.
Mainly because he sawed himself in half. But like that was like one of the main ghost stories I heard when I was younger. And like that place still exists, like where the ranch was, and like there's a road named after our family there, and like my mom always wants me to go up there. I'm like, fuck no, I'm not bringing home a poltergeist. Like a ghost, you know, with my like a ghost will attach to me. So yeah, most definitely. Ghost. I'm going ghost. No.
What?
Right. He told the ghost driver totally steals that. It's like go and go 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 go. So I'm like,
Go
come
go
on.
go 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 go.
Totally stealing Danny Phantom. The show's just a Danny Phantom ripoff. Nothing beats the original. Next thing you know, we're gonna do a Fairly Odd Parents themed rider. Killed the room with the Fairly Odd Parents themed rider. Shouldn't have gone for it.
Wanda driver.
Cosmo driver.
That actually sounds like someone that could exist.
The Jorgen driver is the villain driver. Oh wait, no, the villain driver is the Crocker driver. Fairies! Classic Crocker. Not Betty either. Where's that? No, that's right. Okay, now it's time for
Fine.
nothing.
I don't think he's MP3.
Final things.
I have a thingy, and it's not final.
N3P. I say that way too often. So, make sure to keep sending in your questions with the hashtag TTMF. We always appreciate any and all questions. Like we always say, if we don't read them right away, that doesn't mean we didn't see them. It just means we only do a couple questions a week. We usually do it based on the number of people here, which is two today. It's about the average. But that's about it.
It's about
Take
all, it's
care.
about all, it's about all, it's about all.
Don't fail any omelets.